Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, November 26th, and it is 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnicki. High school basketball season is coming up, and we have with us today Wrangell's High School boys basketball coach, Cody Angerman. We're going to get the ins and outs of basketball, and I'd also like to give recognition to the KSDK staff who also contributed to the questions for this conversation. So you can call in to ask a question. The number to KSDK is 874-2345. Hi, Cody. How are you today?
Hi. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how long have you been coaching basketball?
So my first year coaching, we were just talking about this, was 2017. This will be my eighth season, and it's gone by quick. So
yeah, and
here we are.
You grew up playing?
I grew up playing. Yeah, I mean, I think I come from a family of, you know, people who played basketball, and you know, my grandfather played, my dad played, junior college basketball, and I'm one of three brothers, and I'm a middle child, a brother 2 years older and a brother 2 years younger. So you know, we all grew up playing basketball among other sports, but you know, being very competitive, you know, and so it helps being a middle child just because you get it, the best of both worlds, I guess.
Yeah. did you say just recently that you went to school or college in Las Vegas? Did you play basketball down there?
No, I mean, intramurals, a lot of city league basketball, and wherever I could pick it up. I went to school in Colorado for a little bit, and then my brother had transferred from Arizona State to UNLV, and so I spent a semester in Colorado, and I was like, I can't do it, and I wanted to move to a city, and it just made a lot of sense, so I moved there. This was 2001, so many years ago now.
We're in Colorado. I'm just curious.
I was in Durango.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went to Fort Lewis there for a semester.
Okay. I was just living in Colorado before moving here.
Okay.
So what makes a well-rounded team in your opinion?
I think I've had the gambit of lots of different players and lots of different teams since I started, I think starting from my first year, it takes a little while to kind of, there's already a program in place, obviously, but it still takes a little while to kind of, I think, gain respect and get people to kind of fall in line with what we're trying to build. But I think, trying to make a well-rounded team, you gotta, first of all, press these kids to know that being a student is the most important thing. And so we always kind of stress that and stress the fact that, we're all community members and we want to be involved with the community and we want to make sure that we're, presenting ourselves that way. And not just here, but when we go on trips to and to other events and to other towns, we always emphasize that, you're representing Wrangell, you're representing your family, you're representing the school. And I can't say that I've had lots of good groups of kids to where I don't necessarily have a whole lot to worry about when we go on trips. They're with me the majority of the time, but, still, I think Wrangell does a good job and parents do a good job here of raising their children to be well-rounded to begin with. So I don't have a whole lot of work to do, I think, a lot of the time.
That's good. So you mentioned supporting their studies. How do you support your athletes through the scholastics, through their scholastics?
Well, I think everybody knows that we live in a whole different day and age now where, you're able to access, kids' grades and things. And just with technology, it comes a lot quicker, right? So, the kids have access to their grades whenever you want. So I can ask them to show me their grades whenever. A lot of the times, I think if kids aren't showing you their grades, there's probably something to hide. But they, we have periodic grade checks and grade checks before travel, grade checks before games. And, typically the office and the school and the athletic director do a good job of informing us if there are any issues. I just had this conversation with, my kid recently was just that, you know, I said, you know, keep this in mind, is that when you look at historically, you know, kids that are like the best players in Southeast, whether it's basketball or wrestling or cross country, volleyball, no matter what sport, you know, but specifically because I've been around basketball a long time, you know, even within each school. So, you know, just take Wrangell, for example, you know, typically the best player on the team most of the time is always one of the best students too. You know, you never have to worry about their grades. You never have to worry about them missing class or missing a test. You know, I think everybody has their, you know, moments of not doing well on a test or something, but I think most of the time the kids are that are the best athletes and the best at sports are also the best students in class too. And it's just maybe a competitive side of them. I don't know, but, you know, I tried to, you know, use a couple kids for example, just so my kids have, you know, people to look up to and say, hey, this, you know, you can practice a sport all you want, but if you're not going to, you know, do your homework and do your reading, it's going to be a long road, you know? And so we always have some kids, I think, that when they come into high school have issues with, you know, either acting out in class or their grades. But, you know, whether it's my doing or the fact that they just want to be on the court and playing basketball or any other sport for that matter, I think most of them come around to the fact of like, well, it's easier for me to just keep up in class and then to just kind of teeter on the edge all the time. And, you know, you always have kids that are teetering on the edge. But yeah, they're always usually freshman or sophomore. And then at some point they realize like, you know, being eligible is a huge factor, especially when it comes to, you know, our team, because, you know, I know the girls, they've had, you know, 10 to 12 girls each year, which is basically a roster. Well, I think we had about 18 to 20 boys last year. I'm expecting a little bit more this year. So there's reasons to kind of make sure that you're eligible at all times, because to me that's a huge factor, especially with the way travel is now. We have to have our roster in early and this and that, and having that responsibility and communicating with me that you're eligible is a huge part of that, because if you're not, you know, there'll be some times where I'm just like, I can't take you on this trip because I don't know if you're going to be there or not, you know. So
yeah
kind of cutthroat in that way.
Yeah. And so how does your team look like this year?
Well, you know, I never want to jinx it, but we lost one senior last year, and, you know, he was an integral part of our team. But, you know, usually every year I'm losing 3 to 5 guys. And then, you know, I don't ever like to use the word rebuilding, you know, because in high school basketball, there's not time for any rebuilding seasons. There just isn't. Every year is important, in my opinion. So, you know, we lost one this year, and so we pretty much have essentially the same team coming back, just a year older and a year stronger. So, you know, we're hoping we're going to be good, but you know, you can say that all you want, but it's the work that's really going to matter. So
yeah, so most of them are used to each other then, I would say.
Oh yeah.
And then speaking of seniors, although you only lost one this year, how does your team adapt after losing seniors?
I mean, yeah, it's always hard, I think, because, you know, especially as a coach, because you don't know who's really going to step into those spots or step up. You know, what I've kind of found out is there's always one or two kids that really surprise you, you know, that worked their tail off in the off season and came back, like, you know, whether they changed their shot or changed their attitude or whatever that might be. You know, there's always a couple kids that do that, you know, really, really surprise you. So, I think, you know, every year we've had people that really stepped into those roles. And you know, even when you thought, oh, that kid, he has some, there's going to be some tough shoes to fill, there's been somebody that's kind of stepped in and just taken over that spot. And it's more than just a basketball spot too, because, you know, to me, I mean, I always think like, who's a good teammate, you know, who's going to be that guy on the bench that's encouraging the guys, who's going to be the guy that, you know, doesn't have, you know, some sort of attitude when I pull them out of the game and just gives their teammate a high five, tells them who they're guarding and get in the game, and then they take their seat. You know, those are always important things for me too. So it's more than just the way somebody plays basketball. And a lot of the times we need those guys on the bench. We just do. So,
yeah. And are there any freshman basketball players that stand out?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple kids that, you know, I typically follow, you know, who's in middle school and, you know, Dustin, he does a good job with those kids and developing them. So that's been a big part of it too, is I think those kind of early programs that we have now. I mean, my kid, you know, my younger boy is in second grade and he's playing organized basketball when, you know I didn't have that when I was a kid. So those kind of feeder programs are really, really helping us out, I think. And then even for Dustin, by the time he gets them, most of them have played some organized basketball or AAU, but he's done a good job of building a program there too. And, you know, so I usually follow what's going on with his kids. And so he had a couple eighth graders last year that I was pretty impressed with. You know, a kid I've seen around the gym lately, though, Kai Wigg, he kind of reclassed and he's going to be a freshman, or he is a freshman this year. And I'm kind of excited to see how he develops. I mean, I think when you're a freshman, no matter how good you are, it's a different level of basketball. You know, you come from being the best kid in middle school program, all of a sudden into a program where you have, you know, I mean, 4 years is a big difference when you're that age. You know, you got 18-year-old and the 14-year-old. I mean, just athletically, there's a huge difference in strength-wise. So it's always a good thing for those kids to kind of step in and see what the different level is. But it most of the time it takes a little bit for them to adjust to that too. So
yeah, and I imagine they learn from they hopefully or maybe learn from the older players too.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, and you know, we've had kind of open gym on Sundays and seeing some of these guys, so I'm kind of getting most of the guys back that aren't still wrestling that have been coming to open gym on Sundays, and so we're kind of seeing what they're made of. But there hasn't been a whole lot of gym time either, so that's been kind of a struggle just because there's been so much going on in middle school basketball and volleyball and things. So you know, most of the preseason stuff, the kids, you know, we got to rely on them to kind of do the work on their own. So
yeah. So what is coaching like for you?
That's kind of a loaded question. I mean, there's a lot to it, I think, because, you know, I have a wife and kids, and I have a daughter now that's a year and a half, and so I work full-time, and so I have time off in the winter, so it works out perfectly just with the coaching thing. So that's, you know, I've been very blessed with that, and the fact that my work is very good about that too. So I have a lot of time to that's open to kind of devote to this, but I do also tell myself each year, and people ask me all the time, "You coaching this year? You know, are you still going to do it?" And you know, I always have the same answer, and I just tell them, you know, when I get to the point to where I know it's not enjoyable, or I don't enjoy going to practice, then I'm going to step aside. I mean, it's pretty simple, you know, that I think it's not a secret to people that you don't coach for the money, you know. I mean, and the hard part about stepping away is you always have a kid that you coached, you know, 3 years that's going to be a senior by the time you step out, you know. So choosing the right time is probably hard for a lot of people. I mean, Petersburg coach Brock, he's been coaching for like 30 years, you know, and obviously it's not something that's just easily, you know, you can put it aside and say, okay, I'm done. I mean, there's things like, for me, I know it's not really like the games in the travel, obviously, that I like. I prefer to be home and be around my family and be able to just go to practice. But really what it is like the practice and the preparation of it and, you know, kind of using your brain and, you know, influencing young kids to, you know, be leaders. I mean, I think those are the things to me that make coaching important. And obviously things have changed just with the times, but I like to keep things basic with the kids, and you know, teach them the things that I've sort of learned from, you know, my role models or people that are older or people that I've played basketball around or have influenced me.
Yeah. And can you just speak about your role models and how they've inspired you to coach?
Sure. I mean, I have lots of them, obviously. But I mean, as far as like people that have really influenced me to coach, and I think other than just coaching, it's people that, you know, push you to just be a better person, you know, and obviously, you know, my family, my wife, you know, you couldn't do something like this without that support. And so I've just been very fortunate to have, you know, somebody by my side that really encourages me to do it. And even times when I've been like, you know, people ask me if I should step aside, she's always been like, yeah, but you're going to be miserable. You know, what are you going to do? And so she's always been very good since I started about devoting my time. And, you know, there's never, ever been a moment that I can even think of where she's been upset about me being gone or been upset about me being at practice. You know, she's just kind of taking it with stride. But, and so that's obviously number one. But sort of growing up, I've had a lot of people. I mean, my dad, Fred Angerman, is obviously a huge influence, and probably not just on me, but a lot of people. And, you know, I'll have people to this day come up to me and be like, you know, your dad was the best player I've ever seen, you know? And the legend always grows, though, you know? It started that he had these, like, 35-point games, and then you travel these communities and hear people, oh, yeah, I remember your dad, he came here, and Freddie, he dropped 50, you know? And then you talk to my dad, and he says, that never happened, you know? So it's kind of funny how the legend grows, but... you know, my dad was always really good about myself and my brothers of never necessarily like pushing us or being like a helicopter parent. I think he pushed us in the right ways, but didn't necessarily like grill us or like, you know, after we played a game or after high school told us things that we did wrong. You know, I just don't ever remember that. And, you know, when I think about that, I go, yeah, that's an important trait, an important thing to have as a parent, because I think I struggle with that sometimes because, you know, we all want what's best for our kids. And that, you know, my grandparents, my grandpa Fred, who's no longer with us too, was always good. I mean, always kind of encouraged us to play basketball and other sports. But, you know, his spaghetti feeds before games were always like the big thing when we were in high school. And then my two brothers, obviously, as I talked about before, just being competitive with them and then being able to play 2 years of high school ball with them, you know, each of them. So my older brother, I got to play my freshman and sophomore years. And then my younger brother, I got to play my junior and senior high school with. So that's kind of something that's, I think, not everybody gets to experience. And being the middle child, that's probably the best thing about being a middle child right there. And so, you know, I had them, and my high school coach was, you know, he's very revered. And even when I travel on trips now, everybody always asks me about how Coach Stokes is doing, you know. And he had a major influence on me, I think, as a player. And obviously, as I've coached, he's been very supportive. He's always asked me about, you know, if there's anything I need, just reach out. But he doesn't want to step on toes. But I've always kind of left the door open to him that, you know, you're welcome to stop by anytime you want and we'll always take your advice. So, you know, I've had some really good people around me and, you know, some of my friends. I mean, Jake J. Bush was somebody who really pushed me when I was a kid. He was a year ahead of me and he was always better than me. And so, you know, it always pushed me to be better. And he had this like drive in him that, you know, I think kind of rubbed off on me in a way. And so that was definitely one of them. And then, you know, another one of my best friends, Dustin Johnson, who, you know, was always, it was a little bit different with Dustin. He was more of like encouraging, like a good teammate. And then when we went off to college, Dustin went to college, at UNLV for a while too. We played a lot of like intramural sports together and things like that. So, you know, you have people that really drive you in other ways also. So, sorry, that was kind of long-winded, but
it was great.
But there's a lot of people.
Yeah, just a very supportive community.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And I'm sure I'm leaving people out, too, that, it, you know, I don't want to waste all the time.
So, okay, your assistant coach is Tony Harding.
Yep.
How is it coaching with him?
You know, again, another one of those things, since I started coaching, I've coached with people that, you know, I'm kind of friends with also. So that makes a huge difference, I think. And Tony, as soon as I found out he was coming back to town, it was important for me to kind of push him to apply for that position. But Tony's great. I think, you know, we were coached under the same high school coach and have a lot of the same kind of basketball philosophy, the same, you know, push for the students and what we demand out of them. So I think when you're on the same page, as far as all that goes, it's pretty seamless, you know. But, you know, Tony came right in and, you know, he does a really good job with these kids and trying to develop them and hold them accountable. And, you know, to come in your first year and then we already make it to state, that's, I think, says something, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah. And so what approach do you take as a coach working with high school students? You're spending most of your time together traveling and everything else, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is your approach to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you spend, you know, there's really not even a time where they leave your sight when you go on a trip, you know. And so when I explain this to, you know, some of my friends from, you know, down south, they're just like flabbergasted by the way you travel, you know, because obviously we're like, when we go to Craig, we're taking, you know, Breakaway over to Kaufman Cove, and then you're bussing into Craig, and then you're staying in the school. But the kids, you know, they never leave your sight. As far as the approach, though, I think part of it is just that I'm so used to it. You know, it's the way that I grew up traveling. It's pretty simple, except for when I was going to school, we got housed out. You know, so you'd go to these communities and you kind of stay, not necessarily with random people, but, you know, parents of kids that played that sport. And so that's obviously changed, and I understand why. But, you know, the days are gone when kids went to a community and they just stayed with whoever it was that was housing them out. We typically stay at the school or maybe a hotel, and the kids are always right there with you. So, the approach, I think, is just, you know, hold them accountable and keep them close and make sure they're not running off and goofing off all the time. So.
Yeah. And obviously that's the same, obviously, on and off the court. So yeah. What does a team look like off the court then?
You know, it's funny because you have a plethora of all different types of people. And I think that's definitely one of the fun parts about traveling. And like I said, I mean, traveling isn't my favorite thing to do, but the one thing about it is you get to create memories. And I guess off the court, I mean, again, that's another thing that's just changed with the times too, is kids have phones and kids have all these things. And I always think, like, what did I do when we went on trips like this? Cause we didn't have cell phones, you know, we didn't have iPads. But, you know, there's kids that bring their Xbox. And so, you know, there's a lot of, you know, video games and schoolwork, and there's a lot of downtime. And so, you know, there's times to kind of really get to know each other, and you have to. So I think because of the way that we travel and where we stay and the proximity of which you stay with these kids, you know, you create special bonds, and you know, you get to know a lot of people and a lot of kids that I just wouldn't know otherwise, you know. And so I try to cherish that as much as I can. And sometimes it's not, you know, it's not all rainbows and unicorns, right? It can be a handful. But as I said before, a lot of these kids, you know, just by the way they were raised, are just so well behaved that I don't have a whole lot to worry about. You know, it doesn't mean that I don't watch what they do, but most of the time I don't, you know, they don't give me any reason to have to really, you know, hover over them and watch them.
Yeah. So. And you mentioned the special bonds. Do you feel like that lasts past high school at all?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, that's another one of those things that's very, very important to me, is like, as much as these memories are great to have and looking back and being able to talk about it, you know, you have kids that go off and are doing a lot of good things, you know, and go off to college or, you know, trade schools and, you know, move off and maybe take a gap year and go travel Europe or whatever it might be. And, you know, to me, those are kind of the things that if I had any sort of influence on you at all to go after something like that, you know, and even if I didn't, I'm just grateful and happy that kids are doing that. And, you know, it's, you know, no matter what that is. And but there's kids that kind of went off and did a couple things and that now they're back. They went to college and they moved back to Wrangell, and kind of seeing them as adults and grown up and it's pretty awesome, you know? And, obviously just as you age, just with friends or anything, I mean, there's some kids that they don't text me as much or, you know what I mean? Or maybe our relationship wasn't as strong as I'd hoped it'd be, but there's quite a few of these kids that are off in school that, you know, text me periodically and some that text me very frequently or call. And, to me, that's one thing that I want to make known to them, is that when I say that I'm always going to be there, I want to make sure that I am, you know what I mean? I want to make sure that I'm available no matter what that time is. So there's kids that have taken advantage of that, you know, not in a bad way, but, you know, reached out when they needed me or whatever that is. And, you know, there's nothing that, could make me feel more special than like maybe one of the kids that you coach to, you know, reach out and ask you for some sort of advice or some sort of help in some way. So
yeah, that's amazing. And that's really important.
Yeah.
So I know sports can create tension sometimes, and possibly the community feels it too. So have you experienced any negative backlash as a coach from the community, and how do you deal with it?
You know, whether it was said or not, I think you can sense it at certain points, you know. As far as, you know, basketball-wise and basketball philosophy, it never really bothers me, you know. And I've heard things that people have said, or, you know, some person's opinion about how I had my kids playing, or you let your kids shoot too many three-pointers or whatever. And to me, it's never really bothered me because I've been around this sport a long time, you know, and it's not something I'm saying braggadociously, but I feel like it's something I feel very confident in knowing. And if I feel that confident about it, I'm not going to let somebody that I feel, you know, has a different opinion of me affect, you know, how I feel about my approach. You know, the thing about basketball too, is it changes and it evolves. And, you know, it's, when you're super into it and as involved as some of us are with basketball, and I think you just can't let things like that bother you. You got to stick with, you know, what your philosophy is and how you feel and what your approach is with that stuff. You can't let other people's opinion, you know, I'm not going to go back and say and tell my kid that's the best shooter on the team, like, hey, stop shooting threes. You also need to walk that fine line of, you know, telling a kid to take good shots versus them all of a sudden being reluctant to shoot, you know? So there's a lot that goes into it. But as far as like the community goes, I mean, I've had very good groups of parents, you know, because it's more than just, you know, them supporting their kids. There's, you know, we feed the teams when they travel here. You know, there's fundraisers to do and things like that. And so a lot of these parents have been, you know, very good about volunteering their time and effort and money to, you know, help their kids' program and not just them as individuals. And so I've been very fortunate. And like, yeah, there's been years where I've had less involvement than others, but for the most part, I've had, you know, usually a pretty good group of parents that's always like, hey, what can I do to help? Or I do want to help, or what is it that I can do? Or this is a good idea, and they propose that. So, I mean, that's always been huge for me. But as far as like the tensions in the community, I don't really remember any. And if there was, then I just let it brush off my shoulder. I can't worry about that stuff, you know?
Yeah. So. And how can parents help?
Well, as far as players go, their parents, I mean, you know, we run the concession stands on weekends or something like that. So, you know, as much as it's important for parents to say, hey, here's $100 to put towards food for the concessions, you know, the time is really what's more valuable, in my opinion. You know, it's again, one of those things that's kind of hard because you obviously, you have to have funds to buy the food to run the concessions, but you also need volunteers and their time and effort. So I think the time is the most important thing with it, is that, you know, we can't have the same three parents doing it every single time, you know. And, you know, some of that's probably on me and not communicating that correctly, because a lot of the times, I think as a coach, and probably every high school coach, you know, in Alaska will tell you this, that, you know, we just want to be able to just coach, you know what I mean? You don't want to have to focus on all that stuff, but being from small communities and smaller schools and working with the budgets that we have, obviously there's a lot of thinking outside the box and doing things that, you know, just require that type of effort. And, you know, it's not just, you know, and I've had volunteers that weren't just, you know, parents of athletes or student athletes. I've had people that, you know, were just community members that just want to help out in some way. So, you know, there's always really good people in Wrangell. And so we're really lucky.
That's great. Yeah. So when is the first game?
We play, I'd have to look at the calendar to know exactly, but we have some exhibition games against Metlakatla coming. It's that weekend of like December 20th or 21st or something like that, somewhere around there. So those should be pretty competitive games for us, because Metlakatla is kind of in the same boat we are, as far as they lost one senior too, and they were a very good team last year. So
it's going to be
an interesting weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming in and talking with us.
Yeah.
That was high school basketball coach Cody Angerman, and we are going to jump on into World Cup.